Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Today's podcast is brought to you by Open Circles. You'll never find a deeper connection with individuals at UUSM than you will find in covenant groups of deep listening that we call Open Circles or Aging to Saging groups. Our guest today is Kelly Fayod. Kelly lives in Millbrae with Gary, her husband of 18 years, and their 14-year-old daughter, Sedona. They have two dogs, Murphy and Zoe. Kelly grew up in New Jersey and lived in New York as an adult, graduating from Fordham University. As folks have been doing since the 60s, she moved to California in 1999 to find herself. And she's still looking. She has been in the insurance industry for 25 years. However, she recently completed a master's in psychology and has been exploring a career change. She loves to cook and enjoys meals with friends. She enjoys camping, reading, and puzzles of any kind. She loves to travel and learn about other cultures, yet she hates flying. Other things that she hates: cold weather and eggplant. She's thankful for her new UUSM community, and she's so glad that we have heat in Beck Hall. Kelly, welcome to the Connections Podcast.
Hello.
I've been looking forward to sitting down with you just for a chance to get to know you better. Tell our listeners about the 1999 Kelly who came to California to find herself. What was going on in your life, and why did you pick California as the place to find yourself?
So, 1999, I was finally finishing up college at the not-so-tender age of 33. Worked and did that, and then I just thought, what next? I grew up and lived in New Jersey because that's where I was born. I worked and lived around the city when I got older because it was close to New Jersey and I didn't have a car. It just worked out. I just landed in insurance because they offered me a job, and I went to Fordham because they were paying for it and it was down the street. That's just the way things went. And then as I was finishing up school, I had a business trip out here, and of course Napa got in there somehow, and I thought, wow, this is just a lot of the stuff that I love about New York. Like the food, there has to be restaurants, it's liberal, it had all those things, but it was warm. I just casually mentioned to my boss that, wow, you know, I think I could live in the Bay Area, because I've been other places, and as much as I talk about where I was forced to grow up, I actually love New York, New Yorkers, but it could wear on you a little bit. I mentioned that to my boss, and he mentioned it to his counterpart in San Francisco, and within a few weeks, I was offered a transfer. It just all felt like it was meant to be. I had enough credits, but one of my classes, it didn't exactly fill a requirement. And I talked to the dean, and I said, look, I got this job offer, but it's not going to last forever. And he looked at my transcript, and he said, close enough. It turned out that he loved San Francisco. And he's like, we'll make this work, go forth. And it just happened. And when I was packing up, I found a postcard from my now sister-in-law that had visited saying, Kelly, you would love it here. So it just felt really good. It was something that I chose. It was the weather, all those things that I mentioned, and just like hippie feeling of, hey, I'm going to California. It really worked out really well.
How did you and Gary meet?
Gary and I met when I was in seventh grade and he was in eighth grade.
Wow.
And back then, a year was a big difference. So I'm sure I was probably more like his little sister's annoying friend. Mm. So obviously we've known each other for a long time, never dated in school. But I went on a road trip with his sister to visit him when he was living in Virginia in the Air Force. We got there, and I will be the first to admit that the uniform just really, I'm just a sucker for the uniform. After that, we developed a romance, long distance, and then here we are, married in California. Yeah, I've known Gary and his family a long time, and I'm very close to his entire family.
He came out here because this is where you had made your life?
It is. For a long time, he would say, oh, yeah, job, just move me out there. And then I would say, oh, and you just happen to bump into me at a gas station or something like that. And he'd laugh. It was a very similar situation where he mentioned to his boss, like, I'm just thinking about that. They just made it work.
Wow.
I was destined to be here with Gary.
There you go. Well, that's nice. Tell our listeners about the rest of your family. And, of course, include your dogs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My parents, my mom was born in Cuba, and she came here, I think, in her 20s. My dad is Irish, but he and his parents were born here, so I think his grandparents were from Ireland. They are both deceased now. In the last few years, they died. I did have a pretty complicated relationship with them, which maybe was also part of the reason that I moved out here to get a change of scenery and just sort of figure all that stuff out. Fortunately, we reconnected and they came to my wedding and I was able to have a pretty good relationship with them. I have two brothers. I have an older half-brother who I did not grow up with but have become pretty close with him and his wife, and then my younger older brother, because I'm the baby. We are very close. He actually came with me to UU one time when he was visiting and was pretty impressed because we have pretty similar views of religion historically. And he was blown away by Joel singing.
Oh.
He was really super impressed. Yeah. It was nice doing something like that with my brother because it's something neither one of us probably would have done anytime in the recent past. And then other than that, I have a cousin back east who I've recently reconnected with, and I gained 6 cousins and an uncle through Ancestry.
Oh, nice.
My long-lost uncle and his 6 kids that were here in California the whole time that I've been here.
Wow.
I'm probably closest with one of the daughters, New Yorker, who lives near me. That was fun,
right,
to find them and to see New Yorker fairly regularly now. Besides that, Gary has a brother and wife. I've got 3 wonderful nephews here, and everyone else is pretty much back east for both of us.
Tell me about Sedona.
Sedona is a precocious, intelligent, funny, feisty little person. She's my only, besides my dogs. One and done. I've probably been a little bit of a helicopter parent. I also had her when I was 41, which was maybe a miracle in itself. I'm thankful every day when things get nutty as they can with mothers and daughters. I just always think how much I appreciated even being able to have her and bring her into the world at that age. She's enjoyed coming here. Sometimes she doesn't want to come and there's not other kids, but I think it's been a good experience for her too, and to just expose her to different things and different people.
Yeah. Now tell me about the dogs.
They're just so easy. Aside from Zoe being a little bit reluctant to be housebroken, which is probably my fault. I grew up with animals, all kinds of animals, birds, hamsters, mostly cats. I've just settled on I'm a dog person, which I think is different than a cat lady, just to be clear. I can't imagine myself ever not having a dog.
Right.
Nobody wags their tail for you like that when you get home. And they're just such loving, funny creatures.
Yeah. What kinds of dogs?
Murphy's a beagle. He's about 3 years old. Zoe is a cockapoo. I had a cockapoo previously who did not get along with Winnie or the other dog we used to have. Basically, when my father passed away, I inherited her. When I lost her last year, it was like that last little piece of my dad.
Mm.
I don't know if I was trying to replace that, but I really just wanted another cockapoo. Yeah. They're a great breed. They don't shed. And she gets along so well with he's been like the best big brother.
Yeah.
I worried like with kids, like, am I going to like not love him as much or not pay attention when I get the second dog? But I love him even more because he's just so good with her. It's really like watching 2 little kids play together. The other day he's laying down and she literally just got on top of him with her 2 toy and just sat there playing with her toy like he was a couch. And he tolerated it.
And he puts up
he tolerated it.
Yeah.
So Yes, he is just super anxious to meet Thelma and Louise someday.
So we will have to work that out one day. What motivated you to go back and get your master's in psychology?
I mean, a lot of different things. One being, I think it works, like therapy and that kind of stuff works. I'll try to make it short. I think the main catalyst was just a couple experiences that kind of came together. And the first one was I was on jury duty, and it was for a case where it was a murder case, and everyone involved was from East Palo Alto. And just seeing how many people were exposed to gun violence and drugs, and seeing how these people were mired in that, you think, how do you get out of that if that's all you know and all you see? And right around that time, we'd gone to this fundraiser that we go to every year that my husband's company sponsors. It's a charter school.
Okay.
That's in East Palo Alto. And one of the big components of that school is the on-site counselors. Some of the kids even live there, the ones that have really hard situations at home. I was interested particularly in that program because here is the answer to my question, how do you get out of that, right? And here's this school that like takes these kids out and gives them not just the education, not just staying there with them until 8 o'clock to do their homework or whatever, but that emotional piece that these kids needed to be able to take on the load and just to be able to get through day to day and get that confidence. That was a big piece of it. That's where it really came to a place where I didn't like my job at the time and the company I was with, and I thought, what else could I do? And just like undergrad, I took it really slow because I was a mother. I had to work to pay for school, so I did it over probably around 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I did my hours, which was very fulfilling, being able to actually get to work with people and hear their stories and get feedback from some of them that even if I changed their life in the smallest way, right, it was very fulfilling. And I hope to be able to do that work again at some point. I think I may just stick with insurance for a few more years and pay the Bay Area bills and then kind of transition to that and sort of an early retirement type thing, or start being able to pick up some volunteer work, maybe now that Sedona's older and the whole crunch time of working, parenting, and doing my hours is past. I needed to take a year and decompress.
Yeah, I hope you get to do that. I bet you'll be really good at that.
I put all that time and effort into it. It would be silly not to do something
sure
with it. I'm sure that I will in some capacity.
Tell our listeners about your religious biography.
Oh, boy. Wait, how much time do we have? As you know, I was raised Catholic. At the time, it did mean something to me. I do think that most Catholics are well-meaning. For me, there were just a number of things, the most sensitive and unpleasant being the what seems like rampant, widespread sexual abuse. There are a lot of wonderful priests, and certainly I don't think that every priest, it's the way that the church knew about it and allowed it to continue and covered it up. There's just a lot of, there's the Magdalene Laundry. If you search and see some of the ways that there is corruption, which there is in many organizations, but you don't want it to be your church, right? I just got to a place where I couldn't participate in that, and I certainly wasn't going to finance it. From there, it's like, okay, if not this, where do you go? Do you just religion hop? Do you just find something that caters to what you want to believe? I think what I liked about UU was that there was an answer, kind of like humanism, which I've also looked into, but it's having the honesty of that we don't know what really happened, right? There's all these texts and we pull from each of them and things that make sense in the way that maybe in Aesop's fable would make sense. But we don't claim to be the ultimate authority on morality or whatever. You're allowed to ask questions. It's a place where people can come together. And for me, it's like at least once a week. Can you just once a week try to focus on being the best person that you can be? Hmm. For instance, heaven and hell, right? I don't believe that there's this fiery pit of hell where these golden arches, and that sounds a little bit more like McDonald's, but...
Pearly gates.
Pearly gate, thank you. For me, heaven and hell is pride and guilt, right? If you're not a sociopath, right? I mean, sociopaths are taking them off the table. They're on their own path that maybe they can't help. But for most people, it's the pride and the guilt, right? It is being beholden to a community, right? For instance, if I lied about somebody or whatever because I was trying to get a promotion and that person lost their job or something like that, and you guys found out that I did that, I'd feel embarrassed. I don't want anybody to think I would do something like that. You do want to answer to something bigger than you, right? It's the same thing like when we got married. We wanted something bigger than us to bless our union, right? And we had a non-denominational man. We're like, say God or talk about all that all you want, right? What God is, I don't know. But it's that thing to me. I don't know if I believe in God, but I believe in this. There's a God. It's not like some person with a toga. It's a concept of something bigger than us. So that's where I landed. Like, I do think the community part is important. I used to feel like religion separated people more than connecting them. But I now see the practicality of having, you know, smaller groups, right? It's how you find out about what's going on with people. Somebody's sick or whatever. It's having that congregation of making those value systems and everything just a little bit more manageable within your space. I wish I had maybe found that sooner. Like, sometimes I feel like it would have been nice if I could have had something for Sedona that I didn't have all these reservations about, right? Right. But, you know, better late than never, right?
For sure. You love to cook. What are some of your special dishes?
I would say the smoked trout souffle that I make, that is so much easier than it sounds.
Wow.
And that's what I love. Like, the first time I made it, I was like, oh, a souffle, it's good. But just don't open the oven. That's it.
That's
open
the whole oven. Trick.
And then I actually make my own sausage sometimes. So we make this duck sausage, and then I cook it in this red wine and onions. And those two are the ones that I get the most compliments on. So I leave it in the eyes of the beholder. Right. And then I'm not much of a baker, but my favorite dessert to make is this. It's like a curry crusted butterscotch pie, which is so good.
Huh.
You want a slice, don't you?
I kind of do.
But I just, wow. I don't know. I love cooking. I find it therapeutic. I like knowing what I'm eating. I like sharing food with friends. It's just one of my favorite things to do.
And you love to travel.
I do.
But you hate to fly.
I hate to fly.
What do you hate about flying? Is it like the hassle, the lines?
It's the emotion.
Oh, it's the
action. Honestly, boats and cars aren't too far behind. So, like, here's A and there's Z, and I'm so excited about Z, but getting from A to Z is just painful. So if I had a smooth flight, it was fine. I actually like the airport. I like seeing the sky. I'm like a kid. Oh my God, I'm over the clouds. It still amazes me. But if there's the slightest amount of turbulence, it's like a vertigo thing. It's the same thing driving on windy roads, or especially driving fast, Gary. But then I think after I had Sedona, I didn't used to be afraid of dying for me, but I think, and like, as soon as you become a mom, you just become more vulnerable. So I think that in the back of my mind, that made it worse. Like, there's emotion, but then on top of that, there's, you never want to leave your kid motherless, right? So I almost would rather fly with her. That's how big my mom ego is, that I'd rather us both go down, and I really think that would be better than her being without me.
Okay, let's talk about UUSM for a minute, although you've worked some of that in already, but what did you think on the day when you first visited? I think it was you and Gary and Sedona. All three of you came that first day?
I think we did the first day.
Yeah,
we did. It just felt like a warm blanket.
Oh.
But but not suffocating.
Yeah.
It felt like a warm blanket that I can take off sometimes.
Right.
Like Monday through Saturday, you know? I love the way that people and that's what we were talking about when you have the, now I forget what you call it, when they used to go around with a mic or whatever.
Yeah, passing the piece.
Yes. I just love the interaction, right? Instead of just sitting there being talked at, it's like just the interaction between people and between the speakers and the congregation, how other people participate, which is more that I've learned over time. Other members going up there and doing the sermon or just sharing. I like that communal piece of it.
Right. I do too. Can you give me 5 good things that happened to you this week?
I think I can.
Okay.
Number one would be feeling more connected to Sedona. With teenagers, it really ebbs and flows, and we came off a rough patch. So it's like the sun came out again. Nice. So that's been great, just playing games together and that kind of stuff. I think that we were all able to go together on Sunday to UU. To have all 3 of us together on a holiday like Easter was really nice. Saturday was still within this week. I had Karen and Sean and Jane over with Eliza for dinner. That was nice to try to get to know people better and deepen those connections. And for Sedona and Eliza, just to have the families all together in another space. With the smoked seafood trout was nice.
Was it good?
They said it was. Yeah, it was. And then the sunshine.
Yes, yes.
As I mentioned, I hate being cold. And I think it was Monday. School was closed for some reason. Gary was home. I stepped outside to let the dog out. And I was like, wow, this is nice. And I came in and I called my boss. And I said, it's kind of last minute, but I'd like to take half a day today. Because I have spring fever. And he said, go for it. So I just took off and it was just nice. We even ended up going to the mall when the wind picked up again. But I'm like, there's nobody here. It's a work day. Even though I had permission and still kind of playing hooky.
Right.
So that was nice. The last thing is a little shallower. My cousin's coming out and I scored us tickets for Pretty Woman the Musical.
Oh, fun.
So I got some good seats.
Good.
Or will be fun.
That's great. I think it's a good exercise for people to think of the good things that have happened to them. But now we're going to wrap up with quick hitters.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a quick question and you're going to give me an answer. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. What's the best nighttime snack?
Fruit and nuts.
Fruit and nuts.
Fruit or nuts. Gary always seems to have a little plate of sliced fruit or something around, and it's like, ooh,
that's good. What's the best advice you ever got?
Okay, this is not as violent as it sounds, but I had a boss that said to me, never shoot till your gun is fully loaded. And by that he meant, if you're going to complain, like I went barging in there complaining about something, make sure you have all the facts before you go blaming or blaming. Have all the facts. Your piece, what you could do differently, have that all before guns blazing. I really thought about that. Don't get ahead of yourself. You have great ideas, but really more about thinking before you speak.
Right.
That's been helpful to me.
Yeah. What kinds of things keep you up at night?
Everything. I'm a ruminator, and there's like a hornet's nest, and as soon as I lay down, mostly, what could I have done better as a parent today, or what can I do better tomorrow? And then, for whatever reason, the division of labor. It's so complex, and it can't be equal by design. How do you minimize the division of labor? That's what keeps me up at night.
Yeah. You mentioned, like, when I lay down, this, you know, starts. But so do you have trouble getting to sleep? Or do you get to sleep okay, but then you wake up in the night and can't go back?
And then I have trouble getting to sleep.
Yeah. So once you finally can calm your mind enough to get to sleep, you're good.
Right.
Good to go. Yeah. What is the most used app on your phone?
Maps.
Yeah.
Because my driving, I still use it to come here. They always just know the best way to go. And then I don't have to worry about missing the sign. And I could you know, just...
I do too.
I love it.
I do too. People will ask me sometimes, do you come like on 380 or do you come... They'll throw out these numbers and I'm like...
I don't know. Just you tell me to do it. Yeah. She doesn't yell at me when I make a mistake.
No, she doesn't.
She calmly says, okay, redirecting, let's just do this yeah. now.
Although I sometimes catch an edge in her voice. So. What is the best way to get the news?
I basically listen to Fox News and then I just assume the opposite.
Do you really? Is that just a joke or do you really?
It's kind of a joke.
Someone just yesterday sent me a link about a Parkinson's discovery, but it was to Fox News. And I wrote back and said, you know, I'm going to just have to look for that somewhere else. Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. Go ahead. Okay, so how really?
I do end up getting a lot of news online. I get pop-ups from CNN. So basically, I do the same thing that I do with those rags. If five magazines say that they're getting divorced, they probably are. So I'll get a pop-up from CNN, and then I'll like just Google it, and I'll just check other sources, and I'll say, okay, it seems like this is really happening.
Yeah.
I also have something called Roka News that is pretty straightforward. I get it online and it's supposed to be unbiased and it seems pretty unbiased. So mm-hmm. I just try to get a bunch of different sources so that I'm not missing anything.
And yeah. That's a good idea. What are you reading right now?
I am reading Horse for our book club, and between book club books, I've been reading a book called Awe, which is just about that. It's about awe and how it can shape you, and also they're kind of delving into the scientific like aspects of mm-hmm. awe. I find myself often in awe.
Yeah.
I only recently learned that each snowflake actually has this pattern to it, and I'm still amazed. It's like, how does that fall from the sky like that?
Right.
And I like that childlike sense of awe. I think it just makes you feel happy. It makes me feel happy to be yeah. in awe. Just like, wow.
Yeah, I've experienced that a lot since I got out here. Almost mm-hmm. every day, there's something that makes me feel that awe. If you had to live in another country, what country would you pick?
Oh, France, definitely. France. Gary has family there, so mm-hmm. it's always nice to be somewhere where you have family. And I just like their way of life. I like their food. I like a lot of stuff about it.
What is your favorite other podcast besides this one?
I don't really have one because I'm fairly new to the podcast world. And people will tell me, oh, you should listen to this one, and I'll listen to it. Something I want to do more, maybe at night when I'm trying to sleep, I can do that.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to solve the unsolvable.
Right. Who was the first person you voted for in a U.S. presidential election? Clinton? Bill Clinton.
Yes. Yes. Good catch. Bill Clinton. Yes.
Okay. What's your go-to pizza order?
Pepperoni.
So nothing fancy. Yeah.
No, I do like this pizza called Holy Cow, but only Extreme makes it, and they're not near us anymore. There's no red sauce, and it has walnuts and sage and a white sauce. It's really good.
Interesting. What is your favorite local charity?
Have you ever heard of Hospitality House, Central City Hospitality House? It's in the city. Is that considered local?
Oh, sure.
It's a homeless shelter, but they also have work programs and have an artist workshop. And the clients do artwork, and then once a year they have an art sale. And that helps raise money. But some of their work is really beautiful, and a lot of it, unfortunately, comes from a place of pain and rawness, but it's a really cool aspect to the program that I think is neat.
And what's the best religion?
Unitarian. Universalist.
Yep. Agree. 100%. Thank you so much, Kelly. I have enjoyed this so much, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me for the UUSM Connections podcast.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Good. And many thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.